Grade 8 Conference, Lecture 5, Working with Parents, Part 2. So let's approach some of these issues and look at what can be done to remediate them. Number one, those parent evenings that are attracting nobody. Well, first of all, are you making them interesting enough? You know, do the parents feel they've heard everything from you that they have to hear? How about talking to parents about the astral body and going into some detail about it, you know, about how it really weaves through the Waldorf curriculum, you know, how the death-bringing forces of the astral body open up an interest in the human skeleton, how the wild, destructive, unpredictable elements of the astral body open up an interest in meteorology, how the archangelic forces, yes, you can talk about that as well, because these things will explain things to parents that are otherwise mysteries to them. You know, the parents will feel, well, this is all happening because I'm such a terrible parent. You know, I've been a parent of 4 adolescents. I know exactly that feeling all the time. Here is an explanation about what's going on. How, you know, the astral body with these archangelic forces, it's about social, social, social. It's not only about, can we have a dance, Mr. Schwartz? It's also about revolution. Liberty, equality, fraternity, trying to bring equality between people, trying to build a nation state if you're Queen Elizabeth, trying to tear apart a nation state if you're Robespierre, trying to rebuild an empire if you're Napoleon. It's so much the work of the archangel. So that's where our history comes in. That has to do with the astral body as a vehicle for the working of a higher being working through the children. So you can just take, you know, a whole variety of subjects. You'll see in the physics demonstrations how what Roberto is showing us when you're looking at fluids, how the etheric body works. When you're looking at gases, how the astral body works. When you bring water and air together, like in the Cartesian diver or things like that, you are going to get the astral and the etheric working together to see their forces. You know, bring in some lab demonstrations for the parents to show this. Show them it's not just an integrated curriculum in that, you know, one subject is vaguely connected to another. It's an integrated curriculum in that the child's soul and spirit constellation is reflected accurately, precisely in that curriculum. You show that to parents, they will get excited. They will feel a rejuvenation of their positive feeling for the school, for Waldorf education, and they'll come to the next meeting. But what do eighth grade teachers find themselves doing? Okay, we're going to have Sarah's mom, Jenny. Oh, thank you. Come on up, Jenny. And Jenny's going to talk to us for 2 hours about the possibilities of the class trip. We'll look at expenses. She's giving you a handout right now. Yeah, so that goes on. Or, okay, so where's the costume and sets committee? Okay, great. They're going to give us a half-hour report on how costumes and sets are coming along. And of course, when parents get up to talk, number one, they're not public speakers, they're not trained, which means they're gonna talk too long. And that's why I joke and say an hour or half an hour. That's conservative. Secondly, I can assure you, guarantee you, you get an eighth grade parent up there talking, and you're gonna have guilt trips like crazy. Well, we're working so hard on the costumes, and, you know, my husband says he hasn't seen me in a month, and It sure would help if there were more than three of us. Like, you know, everybody, this is our kids' last class play. Like, you know, okay, I would, you know, oh my God. You know, if anybody's going to make people feel guilty, I reserve that privilege for myself as the teacher. I'll give you guys some guilt trips, starting with my salary. You know, don't do that. Don't put parents in charge of your parent evening. And don't make it just a matter of all of this stuff, this fundraising, and class trip. You know, there's really more to eighth grade than that. And I always tell class teachers, well, of course, you know, they'll want to send somebody in from the high school to do your physics for you. And the fifth grade teacher was an English major. She'll come in and do your language arts. And so-and-so's father is a chemist. He's going to come in and do your chemistry block, you know, so that you're basically sitting there most of the time. Going over fundraising issues, because that's the most important thing you're doing as an eighth grade teacher. Don't fall for that. And that is why parents, that's another reason besides their lack of karma with you, that they don't come. Okay, they don't have karma with you anymore, or it's mostly done, and truly some of them will get ill in your presence. You may feel the same about them, but they'll come out of interest. They'll come out of freedom. They're not coming now just because, in a way, there's this magnetic karmic string between you and them, and they can't escape you. Now they can come in freedom, but you've got to make it worth their while. If you say the meeting's going to begin at 7:30, it begins at 7:30. If you say it's going to end at 9 or 9:30, then damn it, it's going to end at 9 or 9:30. And I don't care who has her hand raised. And, you know, if there are tears pouring out of her eyes because her girl was just cyberbullied or something, tell her she can talk to you about it after the meeting. If anybody else wants to stay, they're welcome to stay. But the meeting is officially over. Parents also actually work hard. You're not the only one working hard. Parents also get tired by 9 or certainly 9:30 at night, and you have to be really considerate of that and begin and end on time. Let me ask you a very personal question, and I'm kind of glad I can't see you because I'm sure I'd get daggers out of some of your eyes. Honestly, really, okay? Truly. Do you have a sense of humor? Only kidding. I mean, rather, do you reveal to the parents that you have a sense of humor? Do you ever, like, crack a joke at a parent evening? Do you ever make a joke about Waldorf education that's a little bit deprecating, that you show that you kind of have a sense of humor about the Waldorf school that you're in? The solemnity, the kind of melancholia that seems to be part of the Waldorf teacher's job description, especially in the upper grades, the near depression that overcomes a class teacher when he or she stands up to speak to a group of parents and all of that, that is a sure way, it's a real conversation stopper, I'll tell you, that really drives people away. So, you can, you know, if you're really desperate, go to a bookstore, if there are any bookstores in your community, if there are any left anymore, or go on Amazon, and just get a book of, you know, like 1,000 jokes. I am sure that you will find ways of adapting those jokes to Waldorf education. You know, instead of, let's say, never mind, I won't. It'll sound too, whatever. You can surely do that. And then every time you begin the meeting, you begin with a joke or two. And at the end of the meeting, you end with something funny. Number one, what does laughter do? Laughter helps to free astral forces. I hope that if you can't be humorous with your parents, I hope that you're humorous with your children, because That's the only way to contend with the astral body. You've really got to let that get lifted up and kind of be freed a little bit from its imprisonment within the physicality of the child and their parents as well. So bring humor to the meeting. Secondly, I mentioned this in passing in the previous lecture, that for the first 5.5 grades, the mothers are all important. They are, you know, 90% of your connection with a family is the mother. And anyway, there are so many single mothers these days that probably that's 100% of your connection with the family. But when sixth grade comes, the middle of sixth grade, coming even more powerfully in the seventh, much more powerfully in the eighth, the fathers now are much more engaged. Usually they're engaged in a critical way. Oh, what are the SAT scores like from Waldorf kids? And what colleges do Waldorf kids get in? You know, I tried to ask my kid to do the tip in the restaurant the other night. I said 15%. He looked at me like I was speaking Swahili. I thought, okay, I'll make it easier for him. 20%? Could you do 20%? 20, what? Huh? 10%? 10%? Like you take the amount and divide it by 10? Can you do that? I don't know. Okay, this is what dads will ask. They notice this sort of thing. The mother is mostly concerned with, is her child happy or not? Does she have any friends? Is she feeling, you know, okay about her physical type or whatever? The father is getting down to the real basics of what school is supposed to be about anyway. So be ready for that. In fact, be proactively ready. Start your meeting after your jokes with statistics, with facts and figures, with numbers about Waldorf education. Are there any stories lately? You could usually, Osna's newsletter Inform shares these. You could find them on the websites of many schools. Any nice article that seems in any way whatsoever, no matter how far-fetched it is, to be supporting Waldorf education, people now find and circulate on the internet. Share something like that with your parents, or do a little comparison of Waldorf and Montessori, or, you know, what we're doing in the curriculum this year in eighth grade in the Waldorf school, what they're doing down the street in the local public school. To show you know about this stuff, that you're not just in a dream world, you know, the preconceptions that parents have about teachers in the Waldorf schools, well, here, I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, I was on sabbatical. That shows you just how long ago that must have been, because I don't even know if sabbaticals exist anymore in most schools. I came back, and I was taking on a class in the middle, a fourth grade class. And I, so a year had passed in Green Meadow where I taught. It often got 20, 30 new families every year. It was a big school, and lots of people came and lots of people went. So I came to the new parent evening, which was early in September, sat down next to somebody I had never seen before, and I thought, he's probably a new parent. But I, you know, just said hello. We didn't really introduce ourselves. So after a few moments, he looked at me. He said, hey, did you ever hear the joke about the spaced-out Waldorf teacher? Oh, my God, he didn't realize who I was. I said, well, you know, I'm... I actually am a Waldorf teacher myself. And he said, that's okay. I'll tell it really slowly. Okay. That actually is a joke. I adapted that from a joke book. So you can do something like that. Parents won't die if they hear your attempts at humor, even if they're as pale as that one. But anyway, parents really do think that way about Waldorf teachers. They just think we are just, you know, practically from planet Waldorf or something like that. So show them that you're not. And it's good when you have a parent evening, and I know maybe you should sit down when I tell you this. You won't like hearing this any more than about the humor. Instead of asking you, do you have a sense of humor, I will ask, do you have a pair of high-heeled shoes? Do you have red lipstick? Men, do you have a tie? Do you have a sports jacket? Dress up for the parents. You will shock them. You will astonish them. They will be in such total shock that they'll accept anything you have to say. And they'll come back the next time for the next meeting to see if that was just a fluke or if you're going to dare to do that again. Dress up more nicely than they're dressed, which isn't hard anymore to do with parents. But there are some parents, possibly if you're in an urban area, who are coming straight from the office and wearing ties and jackets, or the women are wearing, you know, sort of business garb. Dress like that. Dress like a professional. Dress like a person who is in the world, a person of sophistication, a person who really can hold their head high among physicians and lawyers and CEOs and so on. Dress like that and see the impression that it makes on the parents and get a feeling for how it makes you feel. In fact, I urge you to do that maybe once or twice a month for your children as well and see how they respond. And see how they come dressed to school the next day. It's very interesting. It's a very, very powerful matter. And this is not a joke that I'm going to tell you next. It's really true. In the Shining Mountain Waldorf School in Boulder, Colorado, which is like the cutting-edge school in the United States, they're always a little bit ahead of everybody else. And it's Boulder, Colorado. Super, super casual, you know, everybody, everywhere people go to, I mean, even weddings and funerals, they're wearing their shorts, their Tevas, you know, they're ready to go off for a hike or whatever at any moment. Fleece may be the most formal thing that they wear. So anyway, there was a musical night being held at the end of the year, and the high school musical evening, and incredible talent, you know, individual musicians, chamber groups, the high school orchestra, the a cappella chorus, everything. And then at the end, a very special unannounced appearance, the high school art teacher was going to come. He actually, unbeknownst to most people, had trained as an opera singer. He was operatically trained, and he was going to give a short recital of several songs. Well, he was announced, and there was a pause. He didn't come. He didn't come. Everybody's looking and wondering what's going on. This highly, highly anticipated event. And then he came out dressed in white tie and tails, the way a conductor would be dressed in a major urban orchestra, or perhaps, again, a major artist. Do you know that the entire audience, led by the kids, gave him a standing ovation at that moment for looking like that, for dressing like that? They could not believe it. Most of those kids had never seen anybody looking like that. And they went up to him afterwards like kindergartners, you know, touching his clothes and looking at the tie. And it was really amazing. And I will say that this is something you should do, not necessarily tie and tails. Tuxedo might be fun now and then if you're renting one anyway for a wedding. Do that as well, and that will also make a deep impression on your parents. Surprise them. Show them a side of your nature that they never would have expected. Hopefully a positive side. We'll go further with the parent evening and other issues in the next lecture.